We are focusing now on the whole area of sport and business travel. Of course, virtually everyone, maybe you might not be quite right, but most of us have been at a sporting occasion. If it's outside the country, you've had to get the ticket, you've had to get the hotel, and of course, you've had to find some way to get there by train, bus or plane. So who are these faceless people behind all these packages, and how do they put them together, and what kind of events sell, and what do we do every summer and during the rest of the year? What kind of matches do we want to see? Golf tournaments, tennis matches, etc. So I have three people who are very interested in this area and put all of this together. I have Marty Carr of Carr Golf Travel. He's on the phone. Here in studio with me is Sean Baird from Colestor Travel. We'll talk a little bit about his surname in a second or two for a reason. And we also have Francis Roach, who is the Managing Director of Marathon Sports Travel. You're all very welcome to Down to Business. Sean, I'll go to you first because you're in studio, so we give you the preference to kick us off. Lots of people are interested in all sorts of different sports. Obviously, they have GAA available here in the country, but if they want to go further abroad, they come to places like yourself. Now, people might say, listening in, surely I can do all that myself, get my hotel, get my plane, and even get my ticket. So where do you guys fit in then?
Yes, so thank you, Emmett, for having me. Look, Colestor Travel, what we do is we create end-to-end travel packages, predominantly in rugby and golf. Our business was founded back in the 70s by my grandfather, predominantly doing golf at the time. And back in the 90s, my father came in and started doing rugby. So where we come in is, I guess, we provide that full end-to-end service. You know, we have the established relationships with our suppliers across Europe and across the globe, whether it be obviously for the Six Nations in France and Italy, or if it's with golf, in many places around the world. So we act as that kind of go-to if you're kind of curious as finding what's the next best place to either play golf. And also, if you're looking to follow the Irish rugby team, Leinster, Munster, Ulster, you come to us and you see what we have on offer.
And how easy is it to get the tickets? I don't mean ultimate consumer, but for you guys yourselves, you must have to have links with your IRFUs or your FAIs or whoever it is. So is that the key part of your business, to get the tickets in the first place?
Obviously, yes. We offer ticket inclusive packages. We'd be partnered with the Munster branch of the IRFU. We're the official travel partner for Munster Rugby. So they'd be a helpful source for us. But yes, that'd be kind of where we would go for those. Yeah.
And obviously, Ireland playing Japan in the next few minutes. Right. Your surname is Baird, I have to ask. Related to Mr. Ryan Baird?
Yeah. Ryan would be my cousin. I call him my little cousin, but he's 19 stone and 6'6", and I'm 5'10" and not that heavy. So he's playing. I'm actually going to the game after.
We'll have you out in time. You want to be making it? You'll be exactly, tight enough. Yeah. So I'm glad you've given us the chance. Let me bring in my other two guests on this industry, which doesn't get featured maybe that much as an industry focus. So it's for that reason, it's all the more fascinating. Francis Roach, Managing Director of Marathon Sports. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. Thanks, not too bad. Francis, can we just go through some of the sports? Obviously, you do a lot of different stuff, but what is everyone trying? Just give us a sort of maybe the top two or three in terms of demand of what things people want to go to.
Yeah, the Premier League soccer is the number uno across the board, and anything relating to that in terms of any tournaments or stuff like that comes out of it, that would be our big, big seller. And then it kind of breaks down to the different teams within the Premier League. We also then would do kind of on-demand stuff around tennis, around Formula One, and again, providing end-to-end packages for those similar to what they do for the rugby. So, the big one for us is the soccer, is Liverpool, obviously, last year winning the Premier League. That made them, demand went obviously through the roof. But there's many, many challenges each year as different things evolve within the industry.
And Francis, just to kind of go back on my previous question, these tickets are very elusive. There's huge demand for virtually every Premiership ground, home or away. So how do you get the tickets? Is it just relationships?
We work in conjunction with official ticket resellers. So, for example, for Liverpool, we sell tickets in the Brodie's Lounge, which is the new stand that was built at the Anfield Road end. And most of our ticket offerings now wouldn't be just for general admission tickets. They would be for what we would call a hospitality ticket. So the clubs as such have gone and looked at their product and said, right, we need to make this a better product and a better experience for the fan. And obviously they can charge a bit more for that. But that's the thing that would have changed a lot probably over the last 10 or 15 years, where there was a time where we would have bought directly from, let's say, Man United. And they, we were official reseller for Man United in Ireland, And then they'd changed the model that they wanted to change it more into the hospitality end of things. And then we work with one of their, official resellers to resell the tickets.
Right, I've got a personal interest in a game starting around now between Manchester United and Tottenham Hotspur Football Club. I won't say which one of the two of them, but people who know me will know which one I'm more attuned to. But Francis, before I go to Marty, in terms of the margin and who gets what and the cut, I mean, I presume these big Premier League clubs don't like to part with too much margin, so it must be tight enough from your point of view.
Yeah, well, it's, as I said, I describe the ticket game as it's stocks, like stocks and shares. If a team is playing really well, there's great demand and, people will pay, kind of the market value of that. The challenge is that when teams are not playing well, like Man United have been in flux for a number of seasons now, it's very hard to...
Are you telling me nobody wants to go to Man United games? Is that your polite way of saying that?
It's a hard sell. It's a hard sell. But, according to all my Man United friends, in Amarin they trust.
Okay, well, so, we'll find out in a second when they go to Spurs. Stay with there, Francis. I want to bring Marty Carr, who's on the golf side. Marty, good afternoon to you.
Hello, Emmett. How are you?
Good to have you. Now, I'm guessing you're into, obviously you've got your Ryder Cups, but you've got all the majors in the US. So I presume a lot of your stuff would be US-based, or is there a fair bit of European stuff as well?
Yeah, no, most of our business, we've been around for 35 years, car golf travel, Emmett, and most of our stuff is, most of the packages that we offer or tailor-made programs we offer are people coming into Ireland.
Okay, go the other direction, right, okay. Golf.
And most of it is to come in and play golf or entertain clients, but obviously Ireland has had a very good run of events with the Open Championship in Port Rush in 2019 and again this year. And then we have the Ryder Cup, the Walker Cup next year in Lahinch, and then 27 we have the Ryder Cup. And then again, the Open again being mooted again for Portmarnock. So it's been very good for golfing in Ireland, promoting it. And again, most of our clients are more interested in coming over here and playing golf rather than attending events. But certainly the attending of the Open and the Ryder Cup are marquee majors, and the demand is quite significant.
So Adair Manor, it's a long way away. We even hear stories in the paper about the road getting resurfaced and so on. But, I mean, you're very much knee-deep already in that and putting packages and getting people into that venue on the day, even though it's a good few years out yet.
Absolutely. It's not that far away now, in fairness, especially after Bethpage having whipped up a fair bit of interest. And, certainly the we deal with Ryder Cup Travel Services. They were in the final stages of putting together the programs there, and accommodation is a bit of a challenge with the amount of people that are going to be traveling over for it. The previous caller, the ticket pricing and hospitality, it's not for the faint-hearted. So, but the demand is definitely there, and it's hugely successful in promoting the overall golf Ireland brand.
Yeah, you're acting as a gatekeeper. Sean, if we go back to the rugby, a lot of people are interested in away to Scotland. The Rome trip is a big one. Paris, I think, is the first game up in when we break into the new year. What's your top package? Like, what if money was limitless, what kind of things do people put together? And is the second question tacked on to that is it usually groups of people or just one or two that are your typical customers?
Yeah, so next up for us really well would be, as you said, the Six Nations. We have groups going over to Paris on 2 and 3 night packages. The game this year or next year is actually on a Thursday. I think it clashes with the Winter Olympics, so they've moved the fixture to Thursday. So we deal with a mixture of, I suppose, individual bookings, and yes, we deal with some of our corporate clients as well, which would be groups. That would be a kind of the next thing on the immediate horizon for us. I suppose on the longer, further on the horizon for us is we've actually had the news this week that we've been appointed as the official travel agent with exclusivity for the Rugby World Cup in Australia in 2027. Okay. So that's
going to be big money.
myself and the team, like, it's actually going to be the team's third World Cup now. Okay. We're working on that. So we're getting our heads together now, putting those packages together, Emmett, and seeing what we have to offer. But as part of that, we'll be including things like obviously cultural experiences down there in Australia, as well as
what
the
are cultural experiences?
Oh, I suppose it'd be things like
that's a code.
Depends on where Ireland's games are going to be. I suppose that would dictate a lot of that.
You fill in the gaps if there's off days between matches. You will have people going to a safari or a park or something.
Well,
to the beach or whatever.
We do safari with our URC trips down to Munster, with Munster down and Leinster and Ulster. We do a safari down there. But I guess for Australia in 2027, it'll be things like Uluru, Great Barrier Reef. Reef, you know, the Blue Mountains around Sydney, city breaks, all that sort of stuff. So we're going to include a lot of that, those experiences as part of our packages for the World Cup.
Francis, if I can bring you back in, a lot of people might be listening and saying this is really for the opulent classes, for people who have big pockets, and a corporate clients is a big element of it too. They might say, well, listen, what's wrong with me just going onto Ryanair, booking my flight, booking my own ticket and booking my own hotel? Do I need to have this packaging up at all for the ordinary person? What would you say?
For the ordinary person, I think there's been a change, right? Back in 2007, 2008, when Sunderland, you might remember, and Roy Keane and the Irish investors were in, you know, in Sunderland, we were an official travel partner with them, and we were doing flights, 2 to 3 flights every Premier League game over to those matches. There was huge demand. It was peak Celtic Tiger. You know, and that was, you know, that, you know, people didn't think of, you know, the money of a flight or anything else. The challenge with the Premier League, different to a Rugby World Cup, which will have set dates and times, you know, up to a year in advance, is that the Premier League changes so much. So one of our, you know, the packages we have, for example, we did a recent package there for Liverpool v Crystal Palace in the Carabao Cup. So that's obviously a lower grade game. And we were doing that for on a kind of a day trip. Now, it's, as I said, not for the faint heart, but it was like... started at $299 for the coach, the ferry, and the match ticket.
Okay, so you ferries in there as well, right? Okay, I thought it was all plane.
That's
right?
The
okay.
Big change we've had is that we offer the hotel and the match ticket, or the coach, ferry, one night stay, and the match ticket. That would be our big sales offering on around the Premier League for.
But you make a very good point there about the changing of the dates. I mean, I know a lot of people who've gone to see a match or a rugby match. Well, that's slightly different because they tend to stick. But in the winter time and the Premier League, move it by a day or two. And I know, you know, sometimes certain things are refundable. Sometimes I notice a lot of you guys. To be fair to you, as an industry, you do warn right across the top. Premier League matches absolutely. Do get you. But have you had a lot of angry customers saying, we were meant to watch this game on Saturday and now it's Monday and I'm back at work lost all my money?
We do warn them, but if they book our coach and ferry ticket and accommodation package, they do so on, you know, that we will change it at no charge to them when the matches change. For example, we had a match that was meant to be, you know, played on the 29th or 30th when the initial fixture comes out, and now it's changed to the 1st of January. But again, we're just able to contact the client and say, it's okay, we've changed all your arrangements. The arrangements are normally that we would stay the night of the match and then come home the next day. So that gives them time to explore the city, maybe get a tour of the stadium in, or the big one now is obviously the visit the store and get the jersey. Mm. You know, because these things are really what we're noticing. It's a family event now. Mm. It's, you know, and it's the whole family. It's not just the dad and the kids. It's dad, mum and the kids. Going over, enjoying going to the match, buying a jersey, you know, enjoying the cities. And as I said, the changing of the matches, as I said, is something we're able to handle that way. And they do understand, obviously, if they book a ticket and accommodation, we can change the accommodation to the night of the match rather than on the night previously.
Okay, well, it's
and
great
we have that flexibility with
yeah,
our
it's good that there's
buyers.
There's thinking being done about that. Let me bring in my other guest too. I'm neglecting terribly. Marty Carr of Carr Golf Travel. Marty, you're bringing people in. How do you decide when a group of Americans wants to play golf in Ireland, what courses you're going to line them up with? I mean, is it just you have particular partnerships over the years? Are they very specific about they want a particular links course? Or so how do you decide where they're going to go? Because presumably you have an influence if you're packaging it all up for them.
Well, I mean, in most cases, I think the golfer is a kind of a very learned creature. From the American perspective, you know, they have some of the greatest parkland courses in the world. And they're really interested in the trophy links. So it's usually the Northern Irish courses, Royal County Down, being number one in the world, Royal Port Rush, Open Championship, the Southwest. And more recently, people are heading up to the Northwest, up to St. Patrick's and Rosapenna and Nairn and Port New. But for the most part, the American golfer is very discerning. He knows what he wants to or she wants to play, and we work around and put all the moving parts together, coordinating the accommodations, the transport. Obviously, you know, certain courses only allow play on certain days, so maneuvering through the availability is quite challenging. And certainly, it's not for the faint-hearted either. It's I think it's a minimum of €1,000 a day to play golf in Ireland now, between your golf and your accommodation and your transport.
Yeah,
and if you're
money.
Coming to a sporting event on top of that, then you know you're you're adding in, you're layering on top
and
of
the
that.
Irish, so. The Irish winter coming along and saying the course is waterlogged or whatever, which happens in November.
Yeah, I mean, the season is generally more kind of early May to mid-October. So we don't really get a huge amount of play in the winter time.
Yeah, that's a good idea. But even in those nicer months, we're still getting some disruption. So it is a tough one. Sean, if I can bring you back in, the thing that I suppose you're a little bit more easier on the fixtures, because generally Ireland will play France on a particular night. Generally, we will play Scotland, etc. I know there has been some weather.
Sometimes, yeah, due to weather.
But you're
weather,
probably a bit more solid in terms of the logistics, are you?
Yes, absolutely. Logistics, I guess, actually will be one of the pressure points for a business like ourselves. I mean, we carried almost 15,000 people to France for the World Cup back in 2023, and we had 2,000 people in Rome this year for the Six Nations. So, you know, we have a great team in the office who do all the organising possible, everything, dot all the I's, cross all the T's, but we're very heavily reliant as well when we get on location, whether it be Paris or Rome or anywhere else, on our suppliers. So coaches and transfers, hotels.
And how vulnerable do you think your company is to the waning fortunes of the team? We've heard France is talking there a little bit unfairly about poor old Man United, but if Ireland and Irish rugby was to go into a bit of a dip period, obviously we just lost to New Zealand, we'd hopefully better today against them. Or is it just you've got people that are just going to go to rugby no matter what, whether the team win, lose or draw, they'll book with you? Or are you slightly vulnerable to just the team's fortunes?
I would say yes. I mean, I would say we definitely see a direct correlation between demand in our inquiries and our bookings that come in to us with the form of the Irish team. I mean, back in 2018, we went to world number one, and we saw a massive push for people to go to the World Cup in Japan. Same as was the same for the World Cup in 23. So, look, hopefully the lads will get the win today and they'll go the right way. But yes, we will be slightly vulnerable to that, but you do have
you can shout that from the stand, do it for the travel bookers, you know, yeah. Do it.
Well, what I would say as well, Emmett, is, you know, over the last number of years, 15-20 years actually, like the original rugby traveller would have been hardcore rugby fans. Now, whereas what we see now, it's people that support Irish sport, you know, they've been doing so well.
Listen, we'll have to leave there. Thank you very much. Marty Carr, who is the founder and chairman of Carr Golf Travel. We also heard from Francis Roach, who's the managing director of Marathon Sports Travel. And there you heard one of the Bairds, Sean Baird, who is business development manager with Colestor Travel. All three of you, thank you for contributing to the debate.